Welcome, everyone, and thanks for tuning in to another interview on Small Caps Investment Research. We're very pleased to have Mr. David Vinokourov, the President and CEO of Fandom Sports Media Corp, with us today. This is a very exciting time for the company, as it will soon launch its revolutionary esports platform, which we'll obviously talk about in this interview. The company is listed on the Canadian Securities Exchange with ticker symbol FDM. And it is also listed in the United States and Germany. David, thanks so much for joining us. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here. Hello, everyone.
As it is often the case with relatively young companies, the management team really determines its success. You were appointed president and CEO only a few weeks ago. So can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your background?
Absolutely, yeah. My background is in capital markets. I've been in capital markets for 12 years or so now. My focus has been on finance, business development, and in investor relations. I've run a boutique consultancy firm assisting small cap companies with market awareness, business development. Most recently, I've been focused on social media companies and several fintech companies as well with blockchain payment capabilities. So when I was presented with the opportunity to join the Fandom team, it really was a intersection of some of my most recent skills. Spent the last 2-3 years specifically in this market, and I just saw that Fandom was the manifestation of all those skills in one company. So I'm really glad to join the team.
Terrific. Great to hear. As this is our initial interview, could you give us an introduction of Fandom Sports and its activities?
Sure. Fandom Sports Media Corp is a platform that allows fans, consumers of content, to engage with one another, whatever the content may be that they're watching. We are able to connect with data providers who allow us to have real-time play-by-play prediction capabilities as an event is occurring. So what we've done is we've built an ecosystem within that context, where someone is, for example, watching an esports tournament on any number of platforms, challenges can pop up, discussions pop up, they can invite friends, they can form teams, make alliances. So what we've actually done is we've gamified the process of fan engagement. So as you're consuming content, you're actually playing along on a complementary platform, at the same time consuming additional content provided either by a tournament organizers, medium in which that content is coming to you, whether it's a live streaming platform. So it's a multi-layered fan engagement tool, makes things more fun to watch.
Well, that's great. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel that the major advantage of the Fandom Esports platform is that it complements existing esports enterprises rather than competing with them. What's your opinion on that?
Yeah, that's a very good point. I absolutely correct. We've positioned the platform to be completely agnostic. Current times, you have the television may be on, you could be consuming a type of contact, and you'll see that people at the same time still have a phone in their hands, having a second layer of interaction, whether it's something having to do with what they're seeing on the main screen or not. So we've positioned Fandom to be that handheld secondary engagement layer. So whether they're watching a League of Legends tournament or a Dota 2 tournament or a Counter-Strike tournament or watching their favorite live streamer play these games on any number of the live streaming platforms, YouTube, Twitch, Douyu, any number of Asian platforms, you can follow along at the same time and interact with other people who may be consuming that content from a different platform. So it's completely agnostic. It fills in the cracks between all of the multifaceted platforms that are out there, while at the same time providing some value to the consumer by helping them, interact with their friends around the world, and at the same time delivering advertising and numerous other types of impression-based marketing to them as well.
Let's go into some more detail about the Fandom Esports platform. First of all, it's important to note that fan coins are earned and not bought. Why is that distinction so important?
It's very important because it really fosters a sense of community. You know, it's one thing to go and make an in-app purchase, and now, you know, you can unlock all kinds of benefits within the app, whether it's new skins, access to new tournaments, and so forth. By earning coins in our ecosystem, they have an intrinsic value. It's very important to be authentic in everything that you do, especially within the gaming community. This validates users in front of the eyes of each other. So we have leaderboards built in. When you are, you know, at a certain rank, you have certain benefits. At certain ranks, you're eligible to earn certain types of prizes. So that increases the stickiness factor within the platform itself. So it's really predominantly as a fan engagement tool. Secondly, by keeping them as an earned only item, we're in full compliance with all regulations everywhere in the world. So if because there's a prize component and a prediction model, so for example, you can win daily prizes. Now, if you can redeem coins for prizes that you purchased, you know, there's a different set of regulatory requirements that we would encounter.
In addition to the all-age esports gaming community, Fandom Sports is also working hard to develop a verified player tokenized esports betting platform. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so that's really an extension of the all-ages side, because one component of the Fandom platform is the ability to make predictions in real time as to what's going to happen in a game that you're seeing. Will someone cast a particular spell? Will there be a specific type of kill, which you see in first-person shooter games, you know, where someone will land after they parachute out of a helicopter? So all of these things allow you to earn respect versus other people in the platform. Now, the extension of that is the ability to make wagers on that. Now, this is the second model that exists within Fandom Sports Media Corp. So we have an all-ages model where you can do all these things for fun. And the second aspect of it is the live wagering. We're going to be pursuing several different gaming licenses that will allow us to have a global reach around the world. The all-ages will allow us to have a completely 100% global footprint because there's no wagering, whereas the wagering one, depending on which markets it's permissible in, we will be in that market in full compliance with all of those rules.
Very interesting. In order to facilitate all those transactions, you closed the deal late 2019 for the Blaze protocol, which can handle up to 50,000 transactions per second. Can you give some color on that?
Yes. So previous iterations of blockchain technology simply couldn't handle the exponential volume of transactions that would take place in any type of payments ecosystem. The Blaze blockchain has been specifically engineered to handle in excess of 50,000 transactions per second. You know, that would facilitate, you know, a user base of hundreds of millions of users making transactions all the time. So we have a fully scalable enterprise-grade payment backend system that provides security and, most important, scalability.
And when will the Fandom Sports platform go live, and which markets do you plan to target first?
We're expecting that the system will be live within the next 2 quarters. Our initial proof of concept will be in the Asian market, if that is the largest gaming market currently. You have over 450 million esports gamers in China alone. So, you know, we want to go where the demand is. And where we'll have the quickest validation of the project as well. You know, if you can't succeed there, you know, odds are you won't succeed anywhere. So we're very confident that we will be able to get the right partnerships that will allow us to succeed in that market. But, you know, as I mentioned earlier, the platform is built to launch globally. We will be available in iOS and Android app stores as soon as we launch. So, you know, it's a global launch, it's a global product. The beauty of e-gaming is that the community is around the world. You know, you can have people watching tournaments that take place in China, and they could be sitting, you know, in the living room in Belgium, or a Canadian player watching a tournament from South America. It's a truly global community.
Wonderful. And how will Fandom Sports earn money?
The most important question, absolutely. Several ways we're going to be earning money. As we mentioned earlier, the platform is completely agnostic. So if there's a particular streamer that wants it only accessible to their community, we can certainly white label it for them as a software as a service type of business model. So number one, we can do licensing fees. Number two, we make money from advertisers, because as a user of the Fandom platform is watching content, you know, we have co-branded sponsorships that are sponsoring the tournaments that will be able to drop advertisements in the platform. And for consuming that ad, watching a 5 or 10 second ad on Fandom, we will be doing a revenue share with our users themselves. So they'll be able to earn fan coins, which they can then redeem for merchandise in the app itself, which again would be co-branded. So there's numerous partnership opportunities just on that model alone. And from the gaming side of the business, you know, commissions on wagers, platform fees, access fees, that's a really multifaceted revenue model that we'll have moving forward. And we expect to be in that revenue generating phase day one, right from launch.
Okay, very interesting. And when do you foresee first revenues to be generated by Fandom Sports, and how do you see them progressing?
Well, as I said, we're expecting to launch in the next 2 quarters. Revenues would be expected to start counting from day one. And, you know, the growth that we see in esports, for example, in 2019, the revenues were at $1 billion for esports. And that is the competitive playing of e-games. That's forecasted to go to $3 billion in 2022. I believe that was a JP Morgan report. Now, that is only a small portion of the overall $160 billion gaming industry. So maybe some of your listeners have just heard of esports in the last 2 to 5 years. It's actually been a very competitive field for the past 10 years, but we are only hearing it now as it's crossing into that, you know, billion-dollar industry threshold. But if you look at the runway in the long run, you know, this is a multi-hundred billion-dollar industry that we are really at the ground floor of. We feel that Fandom is one of the tools and will be one of the tools that will help it grow in that logarithmic fashion, right? You see 1 billion, 3 billion, you know, maybe in 5 years could be 10 billion. I wish I could make that prediction, but what I do predict is that we're going to work very hard to have a meaningful size of that market. And that's why we designed the platform in this agnostic way, in that it fills in the holes in the overall industry. So it's not just one solution for a particular niche.
Currently, China dominates the esports arena. Why is that the case? And how do you see the market developing?
I think it's a very simple answer. China just has a very large proportion of its population online. There are a number of live streaming services that are available in the Chinese market. Some of them we know here in North America, Twitch, YouTube. Others we don't. DouYu, Panda, Huya, GameFi. You know, a lot of these networks have hundreds of millions of viewers. We have, you know, League of Legends getting more viewers globally than the Super Bowl does in North America. And a large proportion of those viewers happens to be Chinese. I think it has to do with the broadcast infrastructure, the sheer size of the market, and the history that is there. This is not something that's new there. This is an industry that's, you know, very mature in China, going back, you know, between 5 to 10 years. So it's an exciting place to be. And I think we have, you know, certain ingredients that will allow us to get a good penetration into that market.
The company is also well capitalized, as it recently closed an oversubscribed private placement, right?
Yes, that's correct. We just recently closed a small private placement, and it was oversubscribed. We have tremendous support from our shareholders who, you know, see the vision of the company. We're going to be undertaking a number of different initiatives over the next several months that will add significant value to the company. And as the company grows its valuation, there'll be more opportunities for additional financing as we scale the platform to suit specific markets on the gaming side. And of course, to support the global launch of Fandom Sports.
In recent months, the company has really assembled a team of experts in the esports area. Would you give us some more details about Fandom Sports management team and the other key members of the company?
Absolutely, yes. Prior to me, we had a new chairman come aboard, a gentleman by the name of Philip Chen. Philip has been involved in numerous private equity opportunities from mainland China. He's worked and placed significant amounts of deals with, you know, some of the larger Chinese tech conglomerates. They're very significant players in the esports, in the streaming, and in the tech community. We've added a gentleman by the name of John Armstrong, who's been involved in esports and e-gaming for 20 years now, nearly. He's been an advisor for numerous different startups, both on the gaming side and on the wagering side. He's based in London, UK. We've also added another gentleman by the name of Guy Bendor. He's the head of the Israeli Gaming Association, also has a very extensive Rolodex, both in the gaming and in the wagering side. He's worked with, you know, Rovio Games, various other Fortune 500 companies, both in Israel and in Silicon Valley. We have another couple candidates who are going to be joining the advisory board and the board of directors that will be able to help us fill in the gaps of where we see the global penetration of the esports community. As I mentioned numerous times throughout the interview, it's a global community of gamers that are very specific in the local geographies where they are. So our focus is to provide a platform that is localized while at the same time globalized. It seems cliche, but you know, it's very important that we maintain that authenticity, because that's really part of our mission statement, is to provide an authentic platform for global gamers to come in and interact with each other, hence their rewards, hence the ability for them to gain and earn the respect of their fellow community members. We're building out a team that are true gaming experts that have decades of experience in the sector on both sides of our business model. And, you know, it's just really exciting working with everyone and getting all their input and really seeing how Fandom fits into all these unique places around the world.
Okay, that's excellent. And as a final question, what are the two or three most compelling reasons for a long-term investor to consider Fandom Sports today?
Well, number one, it's just the exciting growth in the market space. You know, I mentioned some statistics earlier, you know, 300% growth rates in esports revenues over the next 2 to 5 years. In terms of the global gaming community, you know, you have 450 million viewers, but 2.2 billion gamers. You know, you have a tremendous amount of runway to get more people into the ecosystem. If you can quadruple your user base on a global scale, that's just completely crazy numbers. The platform itself is infinitely scalable. You know, we have an enterprise level payment solution that can handle this type of traffic, not today, but in 4 years from now. So we are planning for the success of that. We're unique, we're proprietary, it's a high revenue growth industry. And at the end of the day, it's really fun. So we look forward to launching the platform. We look forward to keeping everybody informed of what's going on. And we look forward to having everybody using the platform themselves and getting some positive feedback that we've gotten out of testing from it. So it's a very exciting time to be with Fandom, and I'm excited to tell you and all your listeners about it.
Fantastic. David, it's been a pleasure speaking with you today. Thank you for sharing your thoughts with us, and we'd be more than happy to have you back for an update in the future.
I look forward to it. Thanks for the opportunity, and thank you, everyone.